this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we preview the sensitive funeral arrangements model Anna Nicole Smith has lined up for her late billionaire husband. We suit up to take you inside Russia's faulty nuclear reactors. We've got an exclusive interview with those escape lions. They're apologising for their insane behaviour and any hurt they may have caused their girlfriends. As always, turn you against each other on Radio Gladiators. Plus, we'll welcome back to our comfy couch comedian and troublemaker Andrew Goodwin. It's all coming up on the show that's talked about by more people than Michael Jackson's genitals, Martin Malloy. Yes, I know. It's that time of the year again, folks. The government wants your money. Well, we say don't give it to them. Go down fighting with the dubious team at Martin Malloy Tax Consultants. Our motto is, if they want your money, they can come and get it.
Okay, I think you'll get at least $33,000 back.
But I only earned $35,000.
Don't ask any questions. Here, take this gun, go home, and don't open the door to anyone.
Here at Martin Malloy Tax Consultants, we specialise in bodgy tax returns with a boutique money laundering operation on the side.
All right, what name?
Glenn Thompson.
Yeah, I know that, but what name do you want me to use on the forms?
Oh.
How about Herb? There, you look like a bit of a Herb.
Established in 1954.
No, say 1920.
Oh, okay. Established in 1920, our proud history of pulling a few shonkies and telling a porky or two continues to this very day.
Are you sure this is okay?
Trust me. If anything goes wrong, you and the family can live in Marcella. At least till it all blows over.
Really?
Yeah. You don't mind sharing with the Jenkins, do you?
Here's a word from our managing director, who's had his voice digitally altered to protect his identity.
We believe in giving customers the best deal we can.
Hey, what does this button do?
To rip off the
government. Mick, God, good one. Now everyone knows it's me.
Sorry, Tone.
Had to drive me to the airport.
So, for some shady deals with a hint of criminal activity, visit the seedy folk down at Martin Malloy Tax Consultants, where we give you a 100% guarantee or your money back.
Make it 30%.
A 30% guarantee or your money back.
Some of it.
A 30% guarantee or some of your money back.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Am I getting paid for this?
Checks in the mail.
Martin. Never let me go here on Martin Malloy. And, of course, yesterday it was just lions, lions, lions on the program. Those escape lions. And now I see, Mick, they're just everywhere. Have you seen today?
They've become, personalities almost, aren't
they're
they?
They're the darlings of the media.
They are. And they're pretty cheeky, too.
Yeah, it's their kind of rascally larrikin character.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be long before we see them on, Top Blokes and Superstars or something. Yeah. Well, you've heard they're already doing all the current affair shows.
Is that right?
That's
really?
Right. Those naughty lions, I think, are on one of them now. In fact, I'll just turn on the telly.
Let's see if we can find them.
I received a
Welcome back. We're with the naughty lions. So tell me, fellas, how was it out on the town?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you have a good time?
Yes, we did. It was great to get away. Would you like to see some photos?
Sure.
Here we are at the Opera House. Here we are at the Revolving Restaurant. Like and what's this one? Oh, yeah, that's us chowing down on a shopkeeper.
Look at you. You're not even chewing.
Yeah. So what were you doing?
We were going to see The Lion King.
And how was that?
Oh, pretty busy, being Half Price Tuesday. But the film was great, a bit long.
Simba was good.
Yeah, but we all had a bit of a laugh at the accent.
Yeah, lions don't talk like that.
So a good day out, naughty lions.
Oh, yes, we'd like to do it again. We're thinking of going to Waterworld.
Yes, I'd like to see where all that money went.
It's number one in America, you know.
Really?
Very interesting.
Tell us about your friend Kevin.
Well, he's dead, isn't he?
What happened?
Well, the way I heard it, Kev was just mucking around with one of those, what do you call them?
Dogs.
Yeah, one of those doggo things. Next thing you know, Barry the Lion Keeper has pulled out one of those fire sticks and blammo, he's out of there.
Yeah, which I thought was a bit rough. I mean, normally when we get a bit frisky, they just pump a couple of darts into us, we go a bit woozy and have a lie down.
But they've gone too far.
Yes, when I get back to the pack, remind me to bite Barry's head off.
Well, Thanks for your time, naughty lions.
Thanks. Oh, just before we start tearing your flesh from the bone and honking onto your carcass, do you mind if we send a few Cheerios?
I'll go right ahead.
Oh, great. G'day, Robbo and Steve. see you tomorrow at the den. To Lionel and all the other turtles down at the waterhole, g'day.
To all the gang down at the aviary.
Yeah, oh, and the antelopes. G'day, guys. We're coming home. Be on your toes.
Barry, I'm gonna bite your head off.
And Cindy, I love you, baby. Sorry I ate the cubs. I'd like to try and start again.
Oh, well, we're just about out of time.
Hang on, what's that? Oh, I think that's my tummy rumbling.
Shall we?
After you.
No, after you.
Oh, I couldn't.
Please.
Why, thank you.
Oh, guys, stop it!
Time for some nuclear news, and forget your Mururoa Atoll people. A new report reveals that Russia is just one big leaky nuclear sieve. The report has Boris Yeltsin so concerned that he's cut short his vacation. I believe he was holidaying, as always, in the breakaway Republic of Liquorland. The report says that in recent years, there have been dozens of till now hushed-up explosions and accidents in Russia's nuclear submarine factories, which are so, listen to this, so shambolically run, a typical day on the factory floor can resemble a scene from a Three Stooges movie. Obviously, a kind of nuclear Three Stooges movie. You know, Larry hits Curly and his three heads knock together, like so. Scientists with nuclear secrets can slip out of the country by paying as little as, precisely, according to this article, $136 to bribe border guards. In fact, I understand there's now an exact change lane at the border for fleeing scientists. And as for Russia's nuclear reactors, well, they've been shonkily installed and maintained, with at least five of them threatening to become another Chernobyl. There was footage of UN inspectors checking them out on the news, and I'm sure I heard that phrase, "What kind of cowboys put this in?" You know what they should have done? You know what they should have done? Installed a ream for the hottest of hot fission you've ever seen when your old reactors had the gong. But one of the inspectors conducting a random check of a Russian nuclear complex described the central core as glowing red, ready to blow, a potential nuclear time bomb waiting to go off. Now, does that description ring any bells? Mm-hmm. Could it be glowing red, ready to... Could it be that Boris Yeltsin's nose, far from being the Smirnoff-fueled beacon we've suspected it to be for so long, is in fact a potential nuclear disaster? Should UN inspectors already be roping him off and sealing his schnoz in molten lead? When Armageddon finally arrives, could it sound something like this?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, just returned from a historic pub crawl of the Eastern Bloc nations, Russian President Boris Yeltsin.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Excuse me.
Reminder, Radio Gladiators is on the way, and in the next hour, Andrew Goodwin, comedian, he's been on before, he's going to be, you know, I think he's going to be having a go at the internet. I don't think he's sold
on
the internet.
Right? Yeah, he's a bit of a prickly pear, Gooders.
Oh, he could be trouble. And tomorrow, Kevin Costner's going to be in.
Excellent.
Live on the program, talking to us for a whole hour, apparently.
Crikey.
And I understand he's agreed to wear the full gills and the full webbed feet. And
well, we won't look so stupid then, will we?
No, just to help us out. Good on you, Kev. That's tomorrow. But bad news today for Rolf Harris. If you heard about this, Rolf Harris has blamed himself for the London Zoo escape of a rare Senate bush baby believed to be the only one in captivity. The tiny creature has been missing for 11 days after making its escape during the filming of Harris's show Zoo Watch for BBC Television. As he watched the animal disappear through a hole in the nocturnal house, Harris exclaimed sadly, "It's all my fault. If we hadn't been filming, this would have never happened, Mick."
He could have made that comment about anything he's been filmed in, really, couldn't he? Is it described as rare, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't, it is now, Rolf. Lucky he wasn't doing a story on crocodiles. Rolf wasn't in Sydney yesterday doing a story on lions, was he, by any chance? Apparently, this is the story, it was fine until the little Senegal, or whatever it's called, saw Rolf reach for the wobble board and he just went, "I'm out of there." Reached the hole just before two of his crew members did. It could have gone anywhere. Could have run up his leg, that's one theory. And it would have had, ooh, a choice of three if Rolf was in the Jake the Peg get-up. But
sure.
my personal thought is it's in the beard, Tone.
Yeah?
It's in the beard. This isn't well known, but there's heaps of animals up there. Yeah, you got your hamsters, you got your porcupines, you got your platypus. Oh, it's been classified as a wilderness area. Yeah, you got your kakadu, your dane tree, and Rolf Harris's beard. You can't tell much, you know, just when you meet him.
Mm.
Dusk. That's when the beard really goes off, because they come out to feed you.
Oh, yeah,
that kind of gear. It's all going on. I actually, the other day, I was with Rolf Harris, and above our heads, I saw an eagle circling at about 1,000 feet, when all of a sudden, it dived straight down like an arrow, disappeared into Rolf's beard, and emerged with a rabbit in its talons. I heard a duck quack, and then this hail of gunfire. I don't know what's going on. I last saw Laurie Levy diving in to see if he could sort it out. And this is not many people know this. American fighter pilot Scott O'Grady crashed his plane into Rolf's beard, survived for a week living off nothing but bugs and insects.
Now return you to abnormal programming. Mutton Malloy.
Where, of course, it's time for
Radio Gladiators. Your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
And when we say fabulous prizes, we mean fabulous prizes, people. What about that 3-pack of CDs?
Oh, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's still only three. It's still only three, but you'd be surprised how big they're getting.
They're getting more and more prestigious.
They're about the size of records.
Their top CDs, including Madonna's Bedtime Stories album.
Put it on and go to bed. Or sleep anywhere.
Yeah, it just gets things moving. Yeah,
absolutely.
In the best possible way.
Oh, I love it to death.
Also,
I love them all. You neglect the other two CDs in that pack. Do you know that?
I'm going to turn my attention to them perhaps later in the week.
No, they've been talking. The other two are not very happy with you. And you know what they've done? They've turned on the Madonna Bedtime CD.
Have they?
They have. Oh, it's a prickly little Atmos in that little CD pack.
You've got no idea where you're going with this, have you, Mick?
No, but I'm quite happy to plough along, hoping something will turn up.
What about Lou Meridian at the Rialto?
Oh, don't get me started, T. Martin.
It's, it's the...
Have you been?
I haven't been yet. I've been past. I've
been
down to Melbourne,
given
it a squiz.
I've been, but I wish I hadn't been. So I still had that to look forward to, because the first time you go, I swear, it's like nothing you've ever seen.
And the bloke out the front in the top hat, is it a real top hat?
It's a real top hat, and it's one of the finest top hats I've ever seen.
Are we running out of time, Gracie? And we haven't even explained the challenge. If you'd like to play Radio Gladiators, it's one we did last week, and it was a bit of a success. Mm. So we brought it back, have you? Unlike many other.
That's why it would stand out.
Yes, indeed. We want to know if you've been mistaken for somebody famous. Mm. We want to, maybe you look like somebody, maybe you sound like somebody. Last time we did this, we had a woman called up whose mum was mistaken for Doug Mulray.
Indeed.
And,
we never got to talk to her.
She's undergoing counselling at the moment. But have you got anyone, just a quick one, Mick?
No, but I must say, the first time I met Gracie, our producer, I looked at him, and we were yakking. I thought it was Steven Seagal.
Really?
He was beating the crap out of me at the time, mind you. But what do you think? Uncanny?
Yeah, it could be Julio Iglesias from where I'm sitting. But if you've got one of these, call us up now and play Radio Gladiators. It's so simple. 1-800-657-657.
Martin
Malloy
on the new SAFM.
can't cry anymore. That's Cheryl Crow here on Martin Molloy. The question we're asking on Radio Gladiators today, have you been mistaken for somebody famous? Who have you got for us on the line, Mickey?
We've got Brett on the line. G'day, Brett.
G'day.
How you going?
Oh, pretty good.
All right, mate, let's get down to it. Who you been confused with?
Daryl Braithwaite.
Oh, really? What were you doing at the time?
Nothing. Just standing in my shop.
Just standing in your shop?
Oh, a few people have done it, yep.
You must have had some yellow pants on or something like that. Your bad haircut. What were you doing?
Oh, I had an Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah. That's more your Garth Porter, isn't it?
How's that, eh?
I don't think it is, Daryl.
You're in the game, won't.
Have we got... let's see. James, are you with us?
How are you?
Not bad. Who are you mistaken for?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. Serious.
Sure, mate.
Yeah, sure.
Who confuses you for Tom Cruise?
I used to work in a nightclub and I used to get asked all the time.
Right, so it's not the Tom Cruise on the Mission Impossible set with the giant pimple that's halted production. That's not you.
Yeah, no, you haven't got a beanbag growing out the side of your face, have you, James?
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet? Well, there's something to look forward to.
Okay, good on you, James. Have we got Leslie there? Leslie?
Yeah?
You're on. Who do you get mistaken for?
No, my sister used to be mistaken for Nana Mouskouri.
Is that right? And does your sister look anything like you, Leslie?
No.
Oh, I'm sure. You're distancing yourself from that.
No, she wears glasses and I don't.
Yeah, she was a bit of a sex kitten, wasn't she, at some stage? Nana Mouskouri?
No, you're thinking of the one with the glasses from the Ladybirds on the Benny Hill show, I think, Mick.
Well, I'm not the one who had the Nana Mouskouri poster over my bed, Tony Martin.
Okay, fair enough. Now, have we got Alex there? Alex, who are you mistaken for?
Oh, I haven't been mistaken for anyone. I've just been compared to that Hobie guy on Baywatch.
Right, Hobie. Now, apparently Hobie is David Hasselhoff's son.
Is he really?
Yeah. That's quite a shock for you, isn't it?
What's your dad look like?
Pardon?
What's your dad look like?
Pretty ugly.
Oh, could be. Does he walk around the house all day in nothing but his Speedos,
holding his stomach in and just looking a bit wooden? Is that your dad?
He's got a beard at the size of Mount Everest.
Well, apparently so is David Hasselhoff, except for the wide shots when he sucks it all in. But, well, okay, that's not a bad one. Have we got time for one more, Mick?
We do. We've got Gary on the line. G'day, Gary.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Not too bad. Now, who have you been confused with, Gary?
Unfortunately, Daryl Summers.
Is that right? were you playing drums in a band at the time?
No, nothing like that.
And why is that? Why would people say that? What's the resemblance?
I suppose facial, and I've got the little round body to go along with it.
Right. Have you ever used this mistaken identity to your advantage, like to get into the Logies or anything?
No, nothing like that. My ex-wife, she was a bit ugly, but she didn't look, like Aussie or anything like that.
Like Aussie, I see. Maybe that's something you can look forward to next year. If Daryl wins a Logie, you could just run out of the audience and go and accept it. How about that?
And maybe just slip the comedy priest teeth in and do a bit of a routine. Maybe a bit of Hervé Villechaize.
I certainly found out one thing about him. He's not a real famous guy, because a lot of people would say, gee, you look like someone I know, but they really couldn't put their finger on it.
Oh, come on, Daryl's part of everybody's family, Gary.
The fabric of this great society we call Australia.
Mick, who's the winner going to be?
Who's the winner? It's back to me. Look, I've got to say, I've got a soft spot in this instance for the sister, Nana Mouskouri.
All right. Leslie's a beauty.
That's the kind of thinking, that's a kind of in-depth... hang on. I think the sister's there.
What's happening around at your place, Leslie?
My sister's got alarm! She's totally freaked out.
Yes, that's the kind of excitement that the three-pack of CDs inspires in people. And you could be in the draw for that weekend for two, and it could be your sister and you at Le Meridian at the Rialto in Melbourne there, Leslie.
Oh, good. Thanks very much.
Okay. Our pleasure. Thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. We'll do it again tomorrow. And stick around after the news, people. We'll be on for a yak with our old buddy, Andrew Goodwin.
Martin Molloy on the new SAFM.
As we enter the big second hour of Martin Molloy, and we've moved up on the couch as always as we welcome a bloke who's been on before. He's a comedian about town. He's Andrew Goodwin.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you. It's great to be back.
Andy, can I just start by asking you, why did you decide to make a film set entirely on water? Oh, sorry, that's tomorrow's question for tomorrow's guest. Is that a good plug for tomorrow's interview?
Yes.
We got Kevin Costner coming in here tomorrow.
And is he going to be sitting where I'm sitting?
He's going to be sitting in that exact chair, and he's going to have the full gills and webbed feet from the movie. He's promised us he's going to go the full costume.
Will he have the snorkel and the face mask on?
Well, I think he will. Yeah,
I'm we'll talk him into it. He loves us.
Now, let's get down to business. I understand we've mentioned the internet, and the internet is just running rampant across the nation.
If you're really cool, mate, you say... the net.
It's the net.
Yeah.
And you've been surfing the net too.
I've been surfing the net, and I've come to the conclusion that it's a complete rip-off.
You think so?
Yes, yes. Mm. I'm going to form an anti-internet society called Outernet.
Really?
And all we're going to do, we're going to keep the telephone going for as long as we can.
Right.
Because when I started doing it, I mean, people say, it's going to change the world, it's a revolution. But the thing that gets me is most people can't even set the clocks on their video, so I don't see how they're going to be going through all around the world talking to other people. Like they say, yeah, it'd be really great. You'll be able to talk to anyone ever, anyone, anywhere in the world. Well, excuse me, Australia, I can already do that with a telephone.
In fact,
you've taken it hard.
I have, mate. Well,
what's the net ever done to you?
Well, look, let me put it this way, you know, if the information superhighway is anything like the Hume Highway, I'd rather break down on Sydney Harbour Bridge during peak hour any day of the week.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What you've got to understand, though, Andy, is that most of the material we do for the show comes off the internet. I mean, we wouldn't have known about Anna Nicole Smith's 7 breast implant operations if it wasn't for the internet. So
you've just supported him wholeheartedly, Tony.
Oh, sorry.
The net's a load useless.
Of crap.
But
what they do is, what people do is, they say, it's going to replace the telephone, yeah. And then they turn around, ring their friends on the telephone and say, let's get on the internet. But when you...
Have you had a go at it? Have you had a look?
I have. When I finally got onto the net, I very quickly realised that it's just the 90s version of CB radio, and times may change, but dags do not. The only difference is that no one says breaker, breaker anymore. Yes, the net, dagdom's new frontier.
Oh, the internet. Now I can play Dungeons and Dragons anywhere in the world.
Jeez. At least that's one thing the internet has changed. All the dags are off the streets. I mean, you used to see dags at nightclubs trying to pick up women, but now they're all at home on the internet trying to pick up women. The bad thing is apparently they're doing quite well at it.
Oh, maybe they know something we don't about that net.
Yeah. They're just downloading like nobody's business. And I tell you what, Andy, can you stick around on the panel for a while?
I certainly can, mate.
Because we've got some more probing. I believe you're going to broach the subject, which very few people have dared to on this program. The subject of bad haircuts.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, this is why I only appear on radio, because I just get the worst haircut. Anyway, look, we'll go into that later on.
Okay, that's next here on Martin Molloy. It's Martin Molloy. That's Wendy Matthews standing strong. And with us on the panel today is Andrew Goodwin. He's an expert on all manner of things, not the least of which is bad haircuts. Tell us about it, Andy G.
Well, mate, I've had quite a few bad haircuts in my time. But the thing that gets me about this whole thing is that people voluntarily go to a hairdresser they know is going to butcher their hair.
Right.
I mean, people would rather gnaw their own arms off than actually say to the hairdresser, you're not doing it the way I want you to do it. And people will actually go along to their hairdresser, and the hairdresser will say, gee, how would you like it done? And instead of saying, I want it exactly this way, people will turn to the hairdresser and say, oh, I don't know, just go wild. So what has happened to me, happened to me is that I've had to get myself another hairdresser. I've got two hairdressers. The one I go to who stuffs the whole thing up, and the second one to fix what's left.
Right. It's a kind of salvage job.
Yeah, of course. And so what's happened is that I think that they should do some of those road trauma ads for bad haircuts in the style of those road trauma ads. Like, for instance, Tracy, I just gave my best friend a bad haircut. Or, don't worry, Katie, every day
it will get longer and longer.
Why this salon? Why this cut?
The phones are lighting up. You're getting a lot of acting work out of this segment, Andy. Now, let's move on to another subject because I know you're interested in hydroponics and it's another expanding industry like the internet. Have you been investigating it for us?
Well, I have. I've been investigating. Now, apparently, do you know what hydroponics is? This is the art of growing plants without dirt. Like you suspend the plant in a sort of a solution of nutrients.
Sure. Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm very interested.
Okay.
We often talk about hydroponics on the program.
Oh,
so,
right. Okay.
So this fits right in.
Well, it turns, of course, as with most things, people abuse it.
They abuse
growing stuff without dirt, under lights. Apparently people are growing dope, marijuana, in their cupboards.
Oh, you're joking.
Using hydroponics.
Hang on a sec. Isn't that illegal?
It is illegal. Right. It's highly illegal. I mean, God knows where they put their clothes. What, on little sticks in the backyard and the garden, I suppose. But anyway, I've seen a doco about it. Now, they showed this guy in this doco. Now, he must have been the guy who Cheech and Chong based their characters on. He was just totally out of it. And he says to the interviewer, "Oh, come and look at my cupboard, man." So they walk into this darkened room, right? And they've got the light there, and already you can see branches coming out of it. Like, this guy's just gone totally overboard. There's old Christmas decorations.
Sounds like an episode of The X.
And so he opens it up, and like this, he's just gone totally overboard with this. There's a jungle in there, like there's a few Ewoks running around, Lancelot Lynx doing a few crazy chimp things in there, and that guy from Gardening Australia is wandering around off his tree saying, "That was the best compost I've ever smoked." But anyway, this is a really good reason why you shouldn't smoke marijuana, because they filmed him.
Listen up, kids.
They filmed him lighting up a joint. Now, this guy had spent thousands of dollars setting this whole thing up in his cupboard.
Right.
Lights up the first joint from the first crop, takes in a huge toke, and then turns to the camera and says, "And it didn't cost me a cent."
So, good on him.
Be wise, kids.
Just before you go, Andy, we must ask you, have you got a commercial? Because you usually have a TV commercial with you.
That's right, I usually do. And there's a new one on, and it's for a range of Indian curries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the brand name is spelled Pataks, Pataks, but it's actually on the ad, they pronounce it as buttocks.
Right.
And it says, "Hot Indian curries from buttocks." I'm out of here.
Enough said. I think they're getting Lucky Grills to be the front person for the next commercials. By the way, thanks for coming in, Andrew. Good one. And if you want to see Andy in action, he'll be in Melbourne at the Ink Spot tomorrow night, and he'll be up in Brisbane in a couple of weeks. Thanks for coming in, Andy.
On your gooders.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Martin Malloy.
We were talking earlier about those lions who escaped from the zoo yesterday.
Naughty lions.
Yeah, they've sort of become kind of darlings of the media, haven't they? Yeah.
They're just, they're on everything. Mm. You know, we could turn the TV on now and I'll bet you they're in the middle of an interview.
You think so?
Yeah, let's give it a go.
Okay, here we go.
I received a letter.
Welcome back. We're with the Naughty Lions. So tell me, fellas, how was it out on the town?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you have a good time?
Yes, we did. It was great to get away. Would you like to see some photos?
Sure.
Here we are at the Opera House. Here we are at the Revolving Restaurant. Like, and what's this one? Oh, yeah, that's us chowing down on a shopkeeper.
Look at you. You're not even chewing.
So what were you doing?
We were going to see The Lion King.
And how was that?
Oh, pretty busy, being Half Price Tuesday. But the film was great, a bit long.
Simba was good.
Yeah, but we all had a bit of a laugh at the accent.
Yeah, lions don't talk like that.
So a good day out, Naughty Lions.
Oh, yes, we'd like to do it again. We're thinking of going to Waterworld.
Yes, I'd like to see where all that money went.
It's number one in America, you know.
Really?
Very interesting.
Tell us about your friend Kevin.
Well, he's dead, isn't he?
What happened?
Well, the way I heard it, Kev was just mucking around with one of those, what do you call them?
Dogs.
Yeah, one of those doggo things. Next thing you know, Barry the Lion Keeper has pulled out one of those fire sticks and blammo, he's out of there.
Yeah, which I thought was a bit rough. I mean, normally when we get a bit frisky, they just pump a couple of darts into us, we go a bit woozy and have a lie down.
But they've gone too far.
Yes, when I get back to the pack, remind me to bite Barry's head off.
Well, thanks for your time, naughty lions.
Thanks. Oh, just before we start tearing your flesh from the bone and honking onto your carcass, do you mind if we send a few Cheerios?
I'll go right ahead.
Oh, great. G'day, Robbo and Steve. see you tomorrow at the den. To Lionel and all the other turtles down at the waterhole, g'day.
To all the gang down at the aviary.
Yeah, oh, and the antelopes. G'day, guys. We're coming home. Be on your toes.
Barry, I'm going to bite your head off.
And Cindy, I love you, baby. Sorry I ate the cubs. I'd like to try and start again.
Oh, well, we're just about out of time. Oh,
hang on, what's that?
Oh, I think that's my tummy rumbling.
Shall we?
After you.
No, after you.
Oh, I couldn't.
Please.
Why, thank you.
Let's get out while we still can, and thanks to all our guests today, Andrew Goodwin, the Naughty Lions, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow, it's Martin Malloy Costner as Kevin Costner, his own self, pops in to spend the entire second hour of the program with us, and at some point we hope to have him reenacting scenes from The Bodyguard, with Mick playing the Whitney Houston part, of course. So until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.